Brian.
Rana.
What's happening?
Listen, it's good enough that we're a hit, a free hit.
Did you know we were chatting in Italy this week?
You're kidding.
We were chatting in South Africa, which we've never been chatting on before,
Stop it, is my understanding.
Ugh. Denmark, of course, continues to be a hot spot for us in Europe.
Oh, my God.
Canada. We don't really give them enough credit, but the Canadians are listening.
They sure are. I have to say, I like South Africa.
That's your South African accent?
South Africa.
Yes. Yeah. I had a neighbor who was from South Africa.
Oh, did you?
So I was able to do a South African accent.
Yeah. My mom's best friend is South African, and I used to love when you'd ask her questions, and she'd go, nah.
Nah.
Okay.
Nothing to do with anything.
Nothing to do with any accents or not. Please join us at patreon.com/AskRana. It's an international platform. You get exclusive content. We're reading a book. We're watching a movie that Rana's never seen. We're answering more advice questions. Patreon.com.
And it's just Brian and I. So you get all of the, you get us exclusively to yourselves.
In our intimates.
For the low, low price of $5 a month.
I'm going to tell you something. Last time I had a drink on the show.
Yeah.
Next time I'm bringing a full set of pajamas and I'm wearing them here with you.
We'll see.
Sorry.
Do you need a breath?
Just a second, because I had to put away my nice seat and I had to put off my gloves and I don't know, I have to soak some stuff in bleach. Rana, you don't even know the compromising situation I'm in right now, just so you know.
Whoa.
I don't care. I don't care if I'm coming in hot.
Whoa.
It's not directed at you. It's directed.
It feels very directed at me.
It's not directed at you.
It's just directed at the show.
I'm just saying this. I might end up flying mint because this is what I want to say. I might have to go to LAX. I'm not getting, and I don't mean to be crass, the goddamn fuckface that is coronavirus.
Wow.
I brought my rubber gloves. I'm not doing it. And I brought you something. I brought you a few things.
So how many times have you been in an airport since Corona struck?
Oh, God. Like four or five?
COVID-19 or whatever it's really called.
How long has it been? I mean, it's 20, whatever.
How long has it been is really the question. Because
I go on a plane.
Yeah.
I was going to say once a week. That's not true. It's twice a week because I go on an outgoing and a return.
Yeah.
And by the way, like you said, I'm not flying to LAX in first class. I'm flying to Burbank in anybody's class.
Well, first of all, I think you're better off flying to Burbank because Burbank's not an international airport.
You're right. Okay.
And the problem, so I think you should feel better about that because the problem with Corona is that people are traipsing it in from other places. Someone in Hawaii got it.
Someone on a cruise got it.
Well, everyone on a cruise got it.
Well, yeah. I would love to have.
I have mixed feelings.
I'm lucky that I didn't take a cruise this
about
year.
About the quarantine. For so many reasons. When was the last time you took a cruise?
I took a small boat.
I'm lucky I didn't take a cruise.
No,
this year.
Do you ever take a cruise?
No. You know, I believe in a river.
Oh, right. Yeah. To go see.
But I mean, I would never take a cruise that had more than 30 people on it.
Yeah, that's sort
of. I don't
know
if that's still called a cruise.
That's sort of what I did. I did like a small boat adventure in Alaska.
Yes, of course you did. To save your marriage.
Nearly. Correct.
Yeah.
Nearly. And by the way, but here's the problem with people.
Didn't work.
With a number that small, Rana. Yeah. With 30 people.
You're stuck with them.
If there's one bad apple, you're done.
It's a
shout out to Rebecca who practically ruined my trip.
We've mentioned her before.
I'm sure
she almost ruined your sighting of killer whales, as I recall.
The orcas and a grizzly bear.
Yeah.
She ruined everything she possibly could.
What was her problem?
She just was.
Did you know her? Oh, she was just the person on the trip.
She was just a person on the trip because.
What life? Did you learn anything about her life?
I know that she's a singer.
Oh. Rebecca Black? She's having a 9-year anniversary.
But I know.
Right now.
She's back in the culture.
Should we have her on as a guest? We could probably get her.
Only if she's going to sing that beautiful song.
How did it go again?
Friday. I can't even. Now I just ruined
Friday. Yeah. Is that what it was called?
Fun. Yeah, it was truly.
I can't even remember.
Oh, it was a blight
on
humanity.
9 years it's been.
Can you believe it?
Hard to believe.
Yeah.
So you didn't take a cruise this year because you weren't getting divorced.
Can I mention one more thing about Rebecca?
Please. You can mention anything you want about Rebecca. I'd love to know more. I just didn't know if you wanted to slander her on your platform.
I feel like you might enjoy this. So most of the people on this boat were not American. They were either like European or Australian.
Oh, what? How did that happen? Was it what kind of a cruise? What kind of a company?
It was the National Geographic ones.
Oh, right, and there's, of course.
Yeah, and they're very.
Excuse me.
I know it was very nice.
Are
really
they luxurious?
Was luxurious.
Expensive.
They're, yes.
Yeah.
But honestly,
you paid for it.
When you're all in, you know what I mean. Like yeah. It's as inexpensive as any trip. You're just
and
putting all
nice
that money
to not
down
have
up front.
To think, yeah, and you eat on the boat and all.
Exactly.
How was the food?
Unbelievable.
They have a train serve you. You know. Puffin or orca or
no,
anything
they
like
would,
that.
They would do like fresh catch and stuff like that, but it was nothing, no puffins or orcas. Yeah, I would think that.
Fresh catch.
No apex predators.
They would do fresh catch, but did you ever see them fishing?
Of course not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was somebody else's fresh catch.
Of course, yeah. It had to have been. Yeah. Well, the Australians, no one could stand Rebecca, but no one said anything to her
she
about
it. She was American
it.
Or not?
She was.
Yeah. She was alone?
No, she was with, so someone else was supposed to be on this trip with this woman.
Okay.
I don't know if it was supposed to be her husband. I don't know who it was. That person ended up not being able to go. So Rebecca was a last second invite. She didn't pay for it.
Yeah. Oh, and so she didn't.
Complained about
it. Didn't pay for it and wanted to ruin everything for
oh
everybody.
My God. They told us what was for dessert one night. And
how
it was
did you
like,
know she didn't pay for it? She told you?
Yeah. Oh, she bragged about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was like, all of you paid for this. I would never pay for that. She was horrible.
So it was like being on a Real Housewives trip. And she was like the bad apple that they put in the
exactly
in the bunch. Yeah,
she's the one from like Beverly Hills season 2 who brought those like $10,000 glasses, and we never heard from her again.
Oh, these glasses, Dana, $10,000. She loved these glasses, $10,000, $10,000,
and Camille 10,000. Was thought it was the rudest thing she'd ever
yeah.
seen.
Dana. Oh, I miss Dana. They should bring
her
back.
I do
too.
I like her.
Yeah.
I'm ready for her.
She
back.
Was just a mess.
The Australians called her. They were like, oh my God, she's driving us crazy. And I got really close with this one couple, and they go, she's such a fig jam. Okay, so it's an acronym that they use in Australia to describe
effing,
someone.
What is it?
It's the kind of person who says this. Fuck, I'm good. Just ask me.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sort of hits the nail on the head.
It does, though. You know I don't care for their language. The way they...
English?
No. Australian, their dialect. You know.
Well, it's very severe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also all of the... The way that they shorten things, Bobby, and the, you know, I'm not,
sure.
It's not my slang
right.
that I'm interested in.
I understand. Yeah. Yeah. It's no Bury, Blackberry, or, yeah.
That's your slang, not mine.
Well, okay, the point is this, Rana.
So you're freaking out, but you, more importantly.
Freaking out? I'm frock.
I'm frock. That's the quote of the week. Hashtag I'm frock. We just came
out.
Up with something.
I'm completely frocked.
You are vermished, as we say in Yiddish.
Completely vermished.
This is a situation that Yiddish only applies. I mean, this is what Yiddish is. If you're wondering what the Yiddish language is, it's how you feel right now and then putting a word on it.
And by the way,
yeah.
Everyone is so scared that they when they do a sneeze or a cough on the plane, they look at you immediately, lock eyes, and say, I'm not sick. I just have a cough.
Because no one knows what the incubation period really is. And they don't know how long it can live on a surface exactly.
Exactly. So essentially, we're all, just everyone is living in a zombie
panic.
The
good news about Burbank is that it is not an international airport. So you're not dealing with that same traffic.
No.
All these jerks that got off the cruise ship and then just got on planes.
Rana, listen.
Yeah. I mean, by the time this comes out, the numbers will be double whatever they were.
I brought you a nice seat.
A what?
You haven't heard about
these? Nice eat.
Nice seat.
A nice eat.
Nice seat.
See how it feels?
I brought... And- Touché, Rana.
There's so many moments in our relationship where Brian comes after me, and then once in a while I point out to him that he's been...
and it takes me a minute.
He thinks I'm coming after him, and then I say... Does this look familiar? And you say, oops.
It's a glaze over my eye and a gulp in my throat. And I realized, like, all right.
I know why I hate it. I've been doing it for,
Well, I got...
What's a nice
I got
seat?
Two
if
nice...
If they're not a sponsor, I'm not that interested.
They're not a sponsor, but okay. I have to tell you, Ron.
We have our responses.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Well, so far, we've only really reached out to, like, and not
to
even...
To zero people.
Right.
Yeah.
And we've only shouted out to, like, Lemaire and, like, Remova.
I don't know what they're waiting for.
I don't either. Yeah. They should be so lucky.
Yeah.
So it's styles for every traveler, and essentially what it means is...
Styles for every traveler.
Yes, you bring your own seat cover, and it covers the seat completely, and it's all different kinds of... It's design-driven, honestly. It has all these different wonderful kinds of designs, so...
It's a blanket. It's a fitted sheet for your airplane seat.
And it comes on. It comes in like a Le Sport Sac zip, and you put it on the seat yourself, And
it's machine washable, I hope.
Absolutely. And it was featured in Flaunt magazine.
Well, and then so, it's got to be good.
Well, Rana, and I've, and they even some of them even come in scents, and I know how much you like that. So
what's what a scent?
I got you an orange cinnamon, and but it's more clove.
No, you didn't.
And
I know you didn't.
And Rana,
because you know I don't like that.
They do seat covers.
Remember, I got upset when Martino ordered the wrong Bed Bath body pillow.
I must have remembered it
clove,
the opposite way.
And I and it wasn't lavender, but I'm not interested in an origin hug anyway.
Well, it smells like a clove you've smoked.
These
so it's
come
not like
scented? Are you serious?
Well, the one, no, I sent it. I took them to get scented.
Oh, so you took a, you use like a pillow spray?
Yes. Okay. So you could just wash the scent out. But the good thing
is, you're going to have to start, you might actually be eligible for boarding early for people with disabilities.
Oh,
you might actually be eligible based on what's going, the hamster on the wheel inside
you
your brain.
You don't even, all I need, all I really need is a little sling from CVS.
So you.
And they would let me write on
and
it.
And a rabbit.
That's true.
An emotional support rabbit to just pet.
All my dreams. No, but they also come in a first class size.
I want you to get.
So I got you. It's lie flat. So I got you for the next time you go to Europe or whatever.
I know, but just, I don't know if those seats are a standard size. And we'd have to make sure it worked on Swissair. And if Swissair isn't cleaning their seat cover before I get on it anyway.
Right.
What are we doing?
Well, you could probably ask them to help you. It's just like putting a sheet on a bed.
What if we got you
or
a
get
stuffed
Vina
animal.
Ticket. She can come to it for you.
Yad Vina.
All right. Yad Vina.
What if we got you a stuffed animal? And okay. Got all the papers on the internet. And you brought that to the front of the line and you
like
said,
my animal papers?
My, no, for the emotional support.
Oh,
and you
oh.
said, my animal and I have to, we have to board early.
Well, people.
I would challenge anyone to turn you away. I think.
That, I think it would
I
scare the shit out of
them. They would
them.
Either arrest you or let you on the plane immediately.
I would hope that they would put me on the plane immediately.
Or even a taxidermied animal. And you could say, this was my animal.
I'm horrified.
This was my emotional support rabbit. And now. We still need to fly together.
Listen, it sounds pretty. It sounds too good to be true, Rana. I also.
So, do you like this nice seat? Then is it? It's cozy.
It's okay. I mean, it's mostly.
But, but aren't you drawing even more attention?
You're
to yourself?
Drawing a lot
because now
you
your
are.
Seat is a different color.
You are,
than
but
everyone
see, this
else's.
Is where you and me differ.
Oh.
When I get on
it
a plane,
certainly is. You want everyone to
my
know.
My time to shine.
Yeah.
There's 160 people vying for something on that plane.
And, it's
and I'm
mustache
competing
cookies.
Against babies. Exactly. You can exactly.
Be babies, miniature horses,
exactly.
Dogs. Yeah.
Mean businessmen.
Yeah.
Carolers, if it's the holiday season.
Yeah.
Traveling to a show. But Rana, I did bring you a box.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'll take it under consideration. I don't know if there's room in my carry-on.
Oh, no. It comes in just a little pouch and it sort of
I
like
know,
inflates
but
up.
This is the problem with travel things that people right. want to travel. Uh-huh. It all adds up. Everyone says, oh, it just comes in a little case. But if five things come in a little case, now I got to carry five things.
That's why you get a jacket with a lot of pockets in it and you could stick a bunch of stuff in your pockets. Mm. I mean, it bulks you up, but like, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are you keeping your travel wipes?
Well, you just in my, no. Okay. So I took a tip from you.
Yeah.
I have something that I keep on my, not on my person exactly, but in my smaller carry-on.
Yeah.
And then I have the stuff I check.
Yeah.
So my wipes are my smaller carry-on, but they come out immediately. But see, yeah. Now I'm lucky enough and I got you a big box of disposable rubber gloves you can keep in your glove compartment. Or, you know, just so that when you're out
oh,
to dinner
or
whatever. Oh, that
is so considerate of you.
It's honestly my pleasure. So that way, now I put on the gloves and then, listen, I'm not going to get it.
I hope not.
No, me too. Well, I'm not going
well,
to.
Well, I don't want to disrupt. I know they're having, Apple's having trouble. Everyone I talk to is having trouble with this supply chain. And I don't want to disrupt the supply chain of the podcast.
Me neither. And
I'm not interested in podcasts where the hosts do like a Skype call the whole time. I don't like the way that sounds.
Nobody wants that.
No.
No, I understand.
Well, I've got some good news,
bad
Are
you
news.
Saying in case I'm quarantined?
Yeah. We'll have to, Dante will have to figure out a way
well, you're
to
right.
record
I would hate,
it so it sounds right.
I would hate to inconvenience the flow of the podcast by quarantine.
That's exactly right.
Right.
But, you know, we have to think in advance about these things. But yeah. the thing that people love about us is we're in the same room together.
It's true.
At least that's what I love.
That's what I love,
I mean,
too.
You know, how much do I, you know,
am
they
I
get
risking,
what they get.
Am I now risking? Listen, I was risking my
so
life.
So you're going to move to Marblehead? Is that what you're saying?
Do you think that's the option?
You considering it?
Rana, all I know is the last
when
I heard
911 stops filming.
Yeah.
Would you move to Marblehead?
I would actually.
If Corona really breaks out, would you move to Marblehead for
I
a
would.
Couple of months?
Well, actually,
till it calms down a little.
Then I think we should go to the Vineyard and not let anyone on.
Oh, we could do it at the Vineyard for yeah. sure. Oh yeah, but then the problem is, do I really want people once again to see the level of luxury that I'm dealing with? How many people do I want that same foot traffic?
Right.
Of the guests that come.
Because you always tell me that the Vineyard House is gorgeous and casual.
Of course, but just because these people are famous doesn't mean that they understand what true luxury is. You understand? I think people make the mistake of thinking, when you become famous, you just become a more enhanced version of whatever you were.
Sure.
So don't make the mistake of thinking just because people are famous or successful or whatever that they have beautiful homes.
Right.
They only have beautiful homes.
You're right.
If they know to want one.
You only become a more extreme version of who you
are. Absolutely. 100%.
Like Wendy Williams. Which
okay.
is.
We're going to get to Wendy in 1 second.
We don't have to, frankly.
All right, let's do Wendy.
No, we don't have to.
I know. See, I knew you were really upset about something.
Well, here's the thing. Wendy Williams is probably a bad person, is my guess.
I think Wendy's a complicated person.
That's fair, Rana. Okay. Because she's already, this month, made fun of cleft palates. Made fun of.
what was her take on cleft
palates? She said she loved the way Joaquin Phoenix had that lip. And then she took her hand and did her lip up really high and started talking with an accent that was bizarre.
Sure. Like him.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have an accent. I'm joking.
But she did. She sort of affected her voice. People were offended.
Sure.
The next thing she said.
So it was just an inch away, not even just a tiny little sliver away from making fun of someone with a true disability.
Correct.
Okay. So we know she's capable of it.
We know she's capable.
Based on that
move. We know that the the beads are brewing.
That's number one. Number two.
Number two, she
has trouble with the trans situation.
And
she's having trouble adopting that into her oeuvre.
She is, and it's so clear she
Which is
loves,
hysterical because, I mean.
I know.
The look of her.
It's so clear
I hate to say that, but.
Rana?
I hate to say that.
That's the problem right there. She's so.
What do you think? RuPaul doesn't make fun of her?
No, but she's so
clearly.
By the
way she looks, of course he does.
She so clearly loves.
He is flawless, and he looks at her and says, get it together.
I have to be honest with you. I think she's beautiful.
Keep going.
Okay. The next.
So what did you know? What was number two?
Okay, this was the big one. Yeah. When she said she didn't like how gay men wore heels and skirts because that was a woman's thing, not a man's thing.
Oh.
And it was like a
weird.
She came
for EJ.
She did. And by the way, the day before she had cried talking about how amazing Zaya, Gabrielle Union, and Dwayne Wade's trans daughter is.
Yeah.
She was just like, what a brave person. And this is so amazing. Was like weeping. And the next day was like,
well, that
boys,
is,
stop wearing skirts.
I have to say that is a wonderful story. And I hope we're going to have Gabby on sometime
too.
You know, she's an old friend of mine.
I do know that.
And I love Gabby, but she's so busy right now. And that baby she has is so cute. But they both have, but really Dwayne has been remarkable.
It's incredible. It's the example of what every father
should
be.
Because there is such a stigma. I mean, never mind. There's such a stigma for men, of course, but so hard to be an African-American male father.
Athlete.
An athlete, and to confront everyone in your community in such a simple manner.
Oh, he made
which is, how could you possibly tell me to not love my child for who they are?
Beautiful.
That's all he's saying.
They're incredible parents.
I love it for who she is. This is who she is. We're going to encourage it.
So then I guess someone.
They really are doing a beautiful job on that.
I guess someone
but see, this is why Wendy's complicated.
Well, then I guess someone today was
she's capable of both of those emotions.
Someone today or yesterday was murdered. Someone that people really like. This lady who I guess is sort of an activist.
Drew Carey's ex-girlfriend.
Someone threw her off a balcony and Wendy said, come on down. And as a Price is Right joke. It was horrifying.
And the audience did not
go
for that.
Silent. So people are now saying cancel Wendy Williams. I'm not saying this
but
is
But here's
I'm
the thing. You Okay, go ahead and say what you say.
All I want to say is she.
If you're Wendy's defense attorney, this is your moment. This is your crisis PM.
Does she
moment.
Say vile things? Yes. Is she also? She is someone who is exactly who she is.
Yes.
And that doesn't happen on television any longer. I think she should be apologizing for each of these things and for all of these things. And, you know, but she started as a shock jock.
Yeah.
I don't know why anyone would think something differently would come out of her. And it does sound like I'm hardcore defending her. I think everything she said, every single thing is absolutely deplorable. I just also sort of feel like, well, I mean, she is who she is.
Wendy is authentically Wendy.
Yeah.
Often Wendy is fun.
Yeah.
You know, labels, labels, labels. Does her gossip the way she does her gossip. She weighs in on everybody, which is often funny.
Yep.
And sometimes outrageous. Wendy is also the same Wendy, who we love so much, can also be incredibly ignorant.
Yes.
And does not, I don't know what's going on in her addiction journey right now, but the synapses don't always line up.
Also,
between what she thought a minute ago, what she thinks now, there's no filter.
There's no guessing where she's going next.
But she is authentically Wendy. I agree.
And I would say there's so
and
many talk show hosts.
Probably doesn't mean half of what she says.
No, I think her show is live.
Yeah.
And I think that if half of these talk, most of these talk show hosts are not nice or authentically themselves.
Yes, or the show, let's just say the show is much more produced, edited, and planned.
Totally.
And so those people have a chance. Those people are manipulating the image.
Right.
Wendy's really letting it all hang out.
It's just a weird person to be so angry at, I think. Because like it's like being angry at Rush Limbaugh a little bit, where it's like, yeah, he's an asshole. What else do you need from him?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit different. I could be wrong. I don't even want to say his name because I can't stand him. The fact that you even brought him up.
Sorry.
And he's a horrible, horrible person.
Yes.
And he's a provocateur. He is saying sure, he believes almost everything he says, but he is saying it to rile people.
Mean. That's right.
And to convert their way of thinking.
Right. Wendy is not premeditated.
And there is
like
a philosophy to what he's doing, and he is absolutely a poison in our society.
Yeah.
Wendy
is messy.
Isn't really thinking about no one is gonna vote for the Wendy ticket.
Right.
You know what I mean? She's not political in that way.
Yeah.
She's just a kind of mess of opinions.
Yes.
And she's sort of a little bit of a sideshow, but she's authentic in that way.
Yeah.
But Wendy is not telling you, she might say who she's voting for, but you're not going to change your life and join the cult of Wendy.
No.
As much as the audience appears to love to
Correct.
Be there, I think everyone knows, oh, Wendy, how could you?
Yeah.
Someone like the man that you mentioned before is trying to get people to line up behind his ideals, to stay in silos, to be open to nothing, and to actively hate.
You're right. It's all thought. It's very thought.
Yeah.
You're right.
But here's the thing. We're talking about Wendy. I don't think she's going to be canceled.
I hope not.
As long as people are talking, Wendy is giving people what they want from her. I mean, For 200 years, people should have said, cancel Jerry Springer.
Right.
It's an insane show. But the ratings, I bet Wendy's ratings are better than ever. She's still part of the conversation.
We'll see.
So you can relax and not worry too much.
Thanks, Rana.
Okay, we got to move off Wendy.
On to some better news, Rana.
Yeah. Are we talking about how popular Wendy's show is? We should be talking about how popular our show is.
Can I talk about how popular our show is right now?
Yeah. You know what I know? Someone told me.
Tell me.
So there's a very popular podcast right now that's one of those, you know, hot on the chats called
sure.
Dying for Sex.
Okay.
Have you heard about it?
No, it's like a murder sex
No,
show.
It's a real story about a woman who, look, now I'm giving them a free ad. No, what am I doing?
Forget it.
What am I doing?
Rana.
It's about a woman who is, it's from Wondery, and it's about a woman who's diagnosed with terminal, she has cancer, it comes back, I believe, and she just shakes up a whole life because she says, basically says, it looks like I'm going to die anyway, breaks up with the husband, and starts having sex with a million people because for some reason the hormones they put her on made her that instead of the other. And she and her friend, who is the host, have very frank conversations. This is my understanding. Anyway, it's the hot podcast people are talking about.
Okay.
That isn't this podcast.
Yes, of course.
And inside Apple, when you listen to a podcast, they say, if you like this, you might also like this.
You're kidding.
And we're in the list.
Rana, you got to talk about your sex life more.
Is that what you think?
That's the lesson.
I think it's probably female driven, make your life better podcast. Who knows? But anyway, we are delighted to be associated with such a thing.
Well, it wouldn't hurt if we did a few special episodes of you taking us into the bedroom with Mr. Cleveland.
Sure. That will never happen.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. This comes from Ali 58395. We don't deserve Ron and Brian as a total groupie of both Ron and Brian. The fact that they're both now in my ears every Tuesday and Friday on Patreon, excuse me, is life-changing. I may be a little biased because I was a winner of their giveaway 1 week.
Oh.
But if you like hearing solid advice, judiciously served with warmth and humor, this is the podcast for you. Kiss, kiss. Okay. Necessary listen from Paige Pertz.
Paige Pertz.
I was introduced.
Like Pert shampoo.
Correct.
Yeah.
I was introduced to Rana through her guest appearance on Throwing Shade and her co-hosting Throwing Shots.
A wonderful podcast.
Thank
yeah.
you, Rana.
Out every Thursday.
Out every Thursday. Yeah. Aren't you sweet? I was hooked. When I heard that this podcast was coming out, I immediately subscribed. Rana and Brian bring hilarity and amazing banter while also bringing really helpful insight to the people of a crumbling political world.
Yeah.
Not a political podcast, minus the asides that I very much appreciate. Sorry it took so long to review, but I recommend this podcast to anyone who will listen. Keep doing what you're doing. Thank you for bringing this law student who needs a much needed break every week. So much joy.
Fabulous.
This one was super simple. Just fun and honest is the headline. JPC867 says, love the show. I never get tired of Ron's great advice and Brian's shotgun style non sequiturs between every thought by his co-host or the show's guest. You can really tell their friendship is genuine and true, which is rare in our current snarky world.
Oh.
And finally, at Lucy DC, 5-star mastery.
Lucy DC as opposed to ACDC?
Yes, I think you're
fun,
right.
Yeah.
5-star mastery.
Or is it
mastery.
Lucy DC as in District of Columbia?
No, it's DEECY.
Okay.
Do not miss this bliss. Two brilliant minds, laugh out loud revelations, delightfulness left and right. Do yourself a favor and listen.
Now, I happen to know there's one more review on there,
oh,
which
okay.
maybe you'll be able to see.
I would be happy to.
From a longtime listener and a big fan.
Okay. Now,
she happens to be a very hot director.
Really?
Yeah.
Catherine Hardwick?
Lucia Aniello has written a review.
Rough Night herself.
Rough Night, Broad City. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Lucia Aniello, excuse me, 5 stars. There's no better self for this crumbling democracy we're living in than Ask Rana with Brian. Mazel tov on the EW shout out. Love to you too. What a sweet...
Isn't that sweet?
By the way, she's completely brilliant.
She's absolutely incredible.
Yep.
She's also a very funny actor, you know. She doesn't do
no,
it.
I didn't
she doesn't
know.
Do it that often, but she's a very funny performer.
Oh,
she's
I'd love
a
to
hysterical
do a
writer. You'd love to do an in-person improv show with her?
Yeah.
We'll see if she has time. She's a super talented director.
She really is.
And she manages to find time to listen to this podcast and to write a review.
I thought you were going to say, and she manages the Chili's.
And she manages a Chili's.
It's a lot.
And she manages a Chili's.
I can't believe
it. If you can believe it. That is so funny. But why don't people who aren't my multi-hyphenates.
Yeah, take the time.
And doing a million things like her. Why don't you take a page out of her book?
Correct.
And take
a
moment.
Yeah.
Write a review.
Yep.
Give us the 5 stars.
Excuse me.
Only.
Yep.
Hashtag 5 stars only.
That's right.
This is what we want.
You tell them, Rana.
Yeah.
You listen, we need reviews. We need subscriptions. Also, patreon.com/AskRana.
Oh, yeah. Exploding.
Exploding.
It continues to explode.
It really does.
Yeah. But that's not for here.
No, that's for there.
It's none of their business.
It's absolutely
Unless
none of their
Unless they
want to
be part of the party.
And then.
They're not going to be part of the party.
And then it's your business. All right, Rana, should we get into someone else's business?
Let's get into some business. Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something, you can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss. Brian.
Rana, this is out of hand.
What was this person doing in Boston?
First
of
all.
That they were willing to come to Marblehead. You know what? Why am I asking the question anymore?
You keep outdoing
yourself.
People
went to Chicago for Oprah. they come to Marblehead for Ron.
I want to know.
And Brian.
I want to know if Casey Wilson, the star of premium shows on television.
Let's get this straight. Is it Casey Wilson? What are we professionally now?
Casey Wilson.
Casey Wilson.
So we're not Casey Caspi.
I've changed my name legally to Casey Casp, but my real name was actually Catherine Wilson, and I changed it to Casey Casp, so officially not one thing is the same name, and it's so annoying.
Isn't that funny, though, Casey Casper?
Casper, I guess, like the mattress. Do you get a free mattress for life?
I know, but I do, of course, shill for them on my podcast.
Bitch Sesh, the number one podcast, I think, in the world.
Oh, no.
To me.
Number one Housewives podcast.
You own a demo. Let's be real.
You really do own
a demo.
In fact, she and her co-host, Daniel Schneider, amazing, have driven traffic to this show.
It's my understanding.
Because I've been listening.
Yeah.
That they've driven traffic. So really, there's nobody better. Casey.
Forget about podcasts.
Forget it.
Forget about acting.
Forget it.
Okay? Forget about comedy.
Absolutely. She's not
well,
funny.
Don't forget about comedy. Let's always remember comedy. I was in Los Angeles a couple weeks ago.
Rana, I told you to come by and that I would make up the guest room.
You were away.
Oh, I don't think so. Oh, I was in Phoenix.
Yes.
You could have met me there.
It was before Phoenix.
Oh, well, no, I was in town.
In any event, Casey and I have a friendship. Let's call it that.
That is. Okay? That's right.
We know each other.
And Casey said to me, Rana, I'm having an exclusive screening for a number of influences. And I wondered, only the top influencers were invited. And
there's a few girlfriends.
I wonder if you could join me.
You run with an influential group.
I guess.
At the Jane Club, excuse me, which is a fabulous, I don't know if we call it female only or pro-female
coven,
or what we call it.
Yeah. Pro-female witches coven.
It's a beautiful, stunning witches coven. And I don't know if that was a Marmol Rodzina designed house. That house.
Unclear.
Absolutely gorgeous. Casey.
Co-workspace for mothers.
Added
lovely.
Not only that to her resume, director. She did a short film.
That's a short film.
She wrote it.
Yeah, but still.
She co-wrote it. She starred in it.
It's on the circuit.
She directed it.
Went to TIFF.
Excuse me?
Didn't it?
Michael McKean's in it.
Yeah.
Pardon me. As her father, who tour de force performance.
Yeah.
June Diane's in it.
Sure.
Adam Pally, who has been on this podcast.
He has, of course.
One of our first
guests. I wouldn't listen to it, Casey. Honestly.
Why?
No, nothing. Just some things were said.
About
some
me?
Thoughts were shared.
I'm sure.
I don't want to get into names.
Okay.
But
what's the issue?
But C.
Okay.
And C? That's Spanish for...
Yes.
Yes. Okay. He always will do me dirty on a podcast. People are always like, I heard what Adam said about you.
Is that true? He only said the most wonderful
thing. Oh, no. He's the best.
The best.
In any event, it was so fabulous. And it was so, I mean.
That Casey was like, I'll return the favor and come to Boston.
What I'm saying is Casey as a director is one to watch.
Thank you.
She is a storyteller. And it doesn't matter the medium. She's funny. She gets right to the heart of the story.
Yeah.
And there is, even as absurd and as hilarious things as can get, there is a humanity to her story.
I believe it.
Thank you, Rana.
Very grounded. And it looked terrific.
Thank you, Rana.
Who, was it Rachel Goldenberg's husband that was the DP?
Yes.
Adam Silver. Yes, I've worked with Adam Silver.
He's terrific.
Yes, he's doing Pen 15 now. He's the best.
As talented as he is.
He really is. He's handsome and talented. He's very handsome. Everyone get jealous. I ate oysters with him once.
And did it get caught in your mustache?
It didn't. I wasn't doing my mustache.
#oysters in the mustache.
All right, we're not here to talk about how great Casey is and everything, because she truly is.
Let's get into it.
All right, Casey.
Thank you for coming to Marblehead, dear. We're delighted to have you here.
We need you to weigh in on some advice today.
Yeah, okay.
And your voice is a necessary one.
People are desperate. You've led an unconventional life.
Yeah.
In some ways.
Peripatetic. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Looking forward to your take on all of this.
Correct.
Okay.
Dear Rana and Brian and Casey, I have a dilemma with my best friend. We're both in our early 20s and have both had our share of shitty boyfriends.
Okay.
Thing is, I recently got back together with my ex. Well, actually, we broke up about a year ago and got back together only a couple days later, but I've been keeping it a secret from my best friend. This is because he cheated on me, but I really feel like our relationship has improved so much after giving him another chance and we both matured. I didn't want to tell her because I thought she would judge me, and or I was scared he would cheat on me again and I'd look like an idiot telling her we're over again. Mm. My relationship with my boyfriend is really solidified and I feel confident in our relationship again. However, I keep pushing off telling her because when she broke up with her boyfriend 2 months ago, I was giving her all this advice on how to get over an ex when in reality I was sleeping over at his place later that night. Mm. Sometimes I tell myself my relationship should be private, but my best friend and I would share everything together and I can sense us keeping things from each other. I feel like that's part of the problem.
Sense it.
Yeah.
If you can sense it, you're doing it.
For example, a couple days ago, I saw her texting her ex, but to my knowledge, they don't even speak to each other.
Oh, boy.
Basically, my question is, should I tell her? If I do, how do I go about it? And can I be prepared for her to hate me? Thank you so much. Please come to Chicago.
Signed, Khloe Kardashian.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. You famously work in partnerships very well together.
Yes. Yeah, partnerships.
You and June Diane have probably been together for how long now? As friends and since college.
20 years?
Yeah.
Okay. If June's ex-boyfriend was Mickey Rourke and you found out. Or his chihuahua. Uh-huh. And you found out that they. No. If your ex-boyfriend is Mickey Rourke and June found out that she was texting, that you were texting with him.
Never mind texting. She's in a relationship with this guy.
Yeah, she pretty
There's
much
two
is.
Things going on.
I think if they are true friends, it almost seems like she's now cheating on her friend.
Yeah, you're right.
It's weird.
It does seem like
What do you mean by that example?
Well, she's lying to her friend and sneaking around behind her friend's back. So it almost feels like now she's kind of doing that with her friend. And I think a real friend will both say, you know, I don't love that you're doing this for your own self, but I also accept it. And she would say, look, I'm going to try this again and I want you to support me. It just feels like a real friend would be able to handle this news even if she didn't like it.
Yes. Well, yes, there's sort of two issues. One issue is the news and the other issue is the sneaking.
Yeah.
I also have the question, is this person your friend or is she your mother? Because you're worried about
sometimes we don't know.
Yeah,
it's true.
But this gets tangled in female relationships.
Yes, I've made many a friend, my mother, my higher power.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's true.
Where somebody's judgment is the be all end all, and you're putting that on them.
That's right. Because I used to think they were putting that on me, but those are your own issues.
Yes, because they really, as a friend, probably would say exactly what you just said, which is, do I think it's the best choice for you? No, but if this is what you need to do to figure it out, I'm here for whatever you need.
Yeah, and she could say, look, I know it's not the best choice, but this is what I'm doing, and I hope with love you'll accept it, and I could be wrong, but I want you to support me.
And it sounds like first of all, also, the way you ended this, God bless you, was I saw her texting her ex.
Yeah, but you're trying to put it on her,
too. Two wrongs don't make a right. You're not a better person just because, you know, it doesn't make it better that you haven't told your friend or been dishonest with your friend about this because maybe she's being dishonest.
No, well, she's just bringing that up to assuage her guilt.
And I'll say
to say she's not perfect.
Your
you know?
Friend knows you're being dishonest about something.
Yes, as Marianne Williamson, former presidential candidate,
fabulous,
said in her spiritual talks, everyone knows everything.
Yeah. That your friend knows what's going on here and knows that you're being dishonest about something and also feels the separation.
Which might be why she's not telling you about the text. There's something going on.
And by the way, it might be
a schism.
It might be lower stakes, you having a relationship with this guy. I mean, she might think something, the friendship's at risk. I mean, who even knows?
Right.
And if your friend is a true friend, you're right, Casey, because if I've learned anything, and I've only really dated one bad boy before, but if I've learned anything, it's that I'm not over that person when a friend tells me I should be, even if all the red flags are there.
Exactly.
I'm over that person when I'm over that person.
Yeah, if you can't make anyone do anything in life.
You can't.
Until they're ready, yes.
That's right. So your friend hopefully supports you through this.
But again, I agree with absolutely everything you've said, but we have to go back to the heart of the issue of why you haven't told the friend. Which is because
maybe the friend is too judgmental.
Maybe the friend is too judgmental, and that's definitely a
factor. She doesn't want to hear what the friend has to say.
Yes, because something in that what the friend is going to say, at least part of it, is going to be truthful. And it's a truth that this person doesn't want to confront, which is fine. It doesn't mean that your friend is right, but your friend can say the thing, and then you could say to them, thank you for your opinion. I'm not done with this. I'm going to work. I'm going to keep doing this. I hope you understand and that you'll support me and still be blah, 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 blah. But there's something in.
I would also say
in this waiting game of not confronting it.
You mentioned several times how solid and confident you are in your relationship again. Then this, if all of that is true, because you do say it several times, then it really shouldn't be that big a deal to mention it to your friend.
Yes, but it's a big deal that she's kept it from the friend for this long.
But I will say, even if the friend comes down on her, one time about 10 years ago, I was dating someone and I did have a dalliance then with a prop master. And
my this is getting steamy.
Yeah, very steamy. What was the hero? I love to go below the line and pick out the most unfortunate gentleman I can find.
What was the hero prop in that scenario?
A musket, an old musket. But I did tell my girlfriend. I was scared to tell her.
Yeah.
Not June Diane, another friend. And she said to me, which was the life-changing advice, I'm telling you, she did not approve. And she said, Casey, I have watched you over and over build up your life and throw it into the fire. And she said, and I literally was like, wow, it actually took a friend close enough to me to say that. And I've never cheated on anyone again.
And is she?
And no more prop master.
Are you still friends with that person?
Stay away from props.
Yes, dear friends with her. Yeah. But I heard the right thing and she wasn't being mean, but she just said, I have to tell you what I'm seeing.
Yeah. That's, well, and also
that
now
hit you to the core.
That hit me
really,
all right. Yeah. That
and
hit
with
me.
This texting stuff, maybe you need to say to your friend, we got to clear the air here. I feel like I know I have been dishonest. It's tricky though. You really should. I was going to say that you could say, I know I've been dishonest with you and I think you've been dishonest with me, but actually that's not really for you to say. Yep. You should only ever speak for yourself. It never works when you go into a scenario and you say, and I also know that you have
ask every Real Housewife.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have something to, you should say, I have been dishonest with you. I was scared of your judgment. Our friendship means too much to me for there to be this wedge between us and blank. Here
you know what
is.
Else you could do?
Yeah.
You could say,
here we go.
You could say, what's up in June? And she could be like, well, I don't know. What are we up to? And you could be like,
I'm getting
married. Come to this garden at 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. June 25th.
Okay.
And I want you to sit in the front row and I want you to wait.
And wait, then something nice.
What could she possibly say after you're married?
Yeah.
And a real friend shows up for you on one of the most
and
important
And then 9 months later, I want you to wait for a little bundle.
I want you to wait at the Hollywood Presbyterian Hospital because I've recently
Cedars.
I hope not. Cedars is St. John's at least.
Cedars are buzz.
Were there someone who would love to talk to us on the phone?
Okay, should we take a phone call?
Let's take a phone call. Okay. Now, this person prefers to remain anonymous.
Okay.
So we could, we could call her anything.
Well, let's see what comes to us.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I think her, okay, hang on.
Here we go. Oh, this is always a cliffhanger when Brian has to figure out if he knows how to Skype.
The tech.
Okay, so we're going to call
Anonymous.
Yes, Pam.
Okay.
Pam. Like the spray. Cute, isn't it?
Hello?
Pam?
Oh.
We're calling you Pam.
Yep, it's Pam.
Yes, like the cooking spray.
Hi, Pam.
Yeah. Which has really been pushed out of the market by more organic options, I think, probably.
It isn't a major player.
Or maybe
player.
You'd find out in the end that really they do still own the market.
Pam, I would like to introduce you to my co-host, Rana Glickman.
Co?
The host of the show.
No, of course I'm your co-host. Hello, Pam. Nice to meet you.
And you are also here with director...
Actress,
singer,
occasional dancer. She does bust a move.
Erotic
dancer. If you've ever been to one of those revival meetings, she calls a bitch sesh live.
Yes,
she'll dance. She'll do a short play.
She'll also be in a tent revival. She holds the snakes during the sermon.
She does a quick change costume.
Casey Wilson is here with us today.
This is very exciting for Pam. Hi, Casey.
Hi.
So, Pam, tell us, what's your question?
Okay, so I just kind of wanted your insight. Oops.
We should say that Pam is literally holding a baby right now.
About to say, are you feeding a baby right now? That is actually what I was about to ask.
She warned me that this would be the thing, but yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so
I tried
funny.
To feed her really fast and dump her in the crib, but it didn't work out.
Okay.
Been there, Pam.
Yeah.
So my question is more just like your insight and opinions, because I know there's no right answer, but.
Well, there might be.
Juggling two careers with two young kids and a needy dog who's looking at me right now. And I guess I'm seeking advice because my whole perspective has recently changed. I always thought of course I would work. I've worked every single day since I was 15, including all through my first daughter's early infancy. And we're really struggling to find care this time. It's not as simple as it was last time. I'm much less satisfied in the same job I had, but really feeling the internal struggles. And it's kind of rocking me to my core that I'd even consider staying home. It's kind of not in my DNA, but I'm considering it. And I was just wondering what you guys thought about that.
Is this a situation you can do financially?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, this is a great question.
Yeah. Well, I'm
Can I ask one question?
I'm very curious. Let's say Cassie has recently been in this stage of her life. I'm very curious.
I have a two-year-old and a four-year-old. I'm curious, if you were to step back, could you get your old job back and down the line? Or how? What type of, are you in a field that you could jump back into it later? Or would this kind of be saying goodbye?
So it's super, super corporate. However, I work from home. I've been doing the same thing with the same massive global corporation for 10 years. And so part of this is I'm extremely ready to not do that anymore. However, I'm such a corporate person that I'm finding it difficult to imagine doing it anything else. And I'm tired of that aspect. So I'm kind of just like
you want to change regardless of kids, possibly.
Yeah. Yes, but I have this great setup that on paper people have literally told me never to walk away from ever.
You mean your job on paper?
So
is there like a vesting situation? Do you have to be there a certain number of years? Or if you do stay on with them a certain number of years, you get stock?
No,
or I mean, why is it so great on paper? What's
she can work from home.
I work from home full time. I have great autonomy and flexibility and paid time off. Their maternity leave is extremely generous. I'm coming off the end of that. And it's a good salary, and I work with generally nice people.
Oh, okay. So fine.
So is what you actually want, and you might be too embarrassed to say it, and I say embarrassed as a societal thing, is what you want to be a stay-at-home mom, and you just are afraid to do it or admit it or something? Or am I dead wrong here?
I wish I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, because that would make this simpler, but I don't think I'd be very good at it.
Okay.
It's horrible.
It sounds like it'd be so hard. So hard.
It's so hard.
Yeah. And frankly, I mean, you're talking to kids all day.
But do you also not want to work 40 hours a week? Are you looking for something like a half-time or?
Probably. Yeah.
And that job's hard to find as well, but it's out there. But so many like successful, wonderful women want to drop down hours and they're not able to with corporations, which is a shame.
It really is. But, it's actually completely unfair.
But what is what's your dream scenario here? Is the issue also, though, that you actually just want to take about 6 months off, decide, and you would like to pay for a nanny during that time so that that's what's really going on here.
Right.
I've often said I would be a stay-at-home mom if I had a full-time nanny.
Yeah, you want to quit and have childcare. That's what you really want.
I love this. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
And is that a position that you could be in?
No.
So if you quit, you have to be the nanny? Is that what's going on?
Could you have a part-time nanny? Could you afford that? Sorry to get into finances.
I don't know. I haven't looked into it. It was my impression that most nannies are full-time, but I don't know.
Oh, no, you can always...
Not true.
You can always find someone.
Or somebody else that wants to split hours with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I do have a lot of friends, just throwing it out there, that do like the mornings with their kids. And then when the kids go down for a nap, then they get to go and do their kind of creative ambitions or whatever, if you can afford it, or work or what have you. Mm-hmm. Just because I do think a day stretching out in front of you with kids is very, very difficult.
Yeah, it sounds.
But it sounds like you know that.
I guess the crux of my question is it foolish to walk away from such a good setup that will only continue to be beneficial as my kids do things
when
like
you
get
imagine
into public
yourself,
school?
When you imagine yourself walking away, do you feel relief? Just you, not what anyone tells you.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm very confused.
Yeah.
How old is this baby?
This 18. One, she's almost 6 months, but the older one is almost 4.
And how much more time have you got on this maternity leave, or is that over now?
It's basically over, and we're scrambling to find care. So I'm sure part of this is just stress, but
Yeah, but you're not so stressed that you can't find care, so you want to stay home with your child. That's not the issue, right? This is about your identity. This is about how you feel being tugging between being always having been a certain kind of person and now being kind of comfortable with the idea of not doing too much. That's what you would like to do. You're exhausted. You'd like to do, if you had all the money in the world, you'd quit, you'd get a full-time nanny, and you'd go to yoga and you'd put your kids to bed at night. Is that about
sounds
right?
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm mostly just worried that in the short term, I'll quit and I'll feel wonderful. And then my kids will start real school and
can't you find another job then?
Yeah, but you can't worry about that.
You've got time.
Yeah, because,
I'm scared to walk away.
Oh,
yeah. But and you have, I just want to be clear, you have tell me if I'm prying, but it sounds like you maybe have a partner. Do you have a partner?
Oh, husband?
Yes. Yeah. Who makes a comfortable living?
Yes.
So walking away from your job isn't going to make you desperate.
She's worried about leaving the workforce as a woman because she's worried about getting back into the workforce.
You're worried because you have a bird in hand, but when we leave things, what we can't imagine is what could come.
That's so true.
Yes.
That is so true.
Yes.
100%.
You have to go with your gut.
A lot of the older women I work with say, never quit, never quit. This is the most flexible, wonderful job with the best salary, and you get be at home when your kids get home from school.
I guess, but not if you have a choice and not if you hate your job. I mean, those are two very stressful. I mean, that's a very stressful thing to hate your job and then to come home to two kids that, frankly, if I were you, and I'm not a mother, so I would resent it.
But
I really would.
Do you hate your job or are you just exhausted?
I kind of hate it right now.
Okay.
I hate the idea of going back.
I can believe. It sounds like you're very capable and you could find something else when the time feels right, even if that's in a year, and you can't punish yourself if you quit and you love it. And then you're like, you know what? I want to go back to work.
And you have 10 years of experience at this company, whatever it is. I mean, this is, I know it seems like everybody who's inside the corporate world, you feel like you're all on that same trajectory, but the truth, and that you have this cushy thing and that other people would want it. But the truth is, I don't know what you do for a living, but you have obviously 10, 15, 20 years of experience doing this. Sorry. And that is a valuable thing in and of itself. So let's say you do quit and then you go part time or you do a little consulting or you do no work, I don't know, for a year or two. That experience doesn't go away. You just reach it. Maybe it'll take you a little longer to find a job, but there's always going to be a big company that sees that thing on your resume and says, we'd love of course we want a person who worked at Amazon.
And not everybody wants the same things. And sometimes when people tell you not to do something, it's because of their own hangup.
And they don't have the courage to do it.
They don't have the courage.
And by the way, it's not like you're signing a contract to not work for a certain amount of time.
Right.
If after like 6 months or a year, if you're like, I really need to get back to work, I can't take this, then do it.
Have you had this conversation with your husband yet?
Oh yeah. He knows I'm thinking about everything and he's very supportive.
Do you have an American bulldog or a pug or a Frenchie?
She's a wonderful mutt. She's like a lab with it. Mix.
The breathing is the baby that you're hearing. It's not
the breathing
dog.
Is the baby. I'm really sorry.
The baby has
it's adorable.
No, the baby has a little cold.
I thought.
Can I ask you
AirPods and you couldn't hear it?
No, I think it's adorable. Pam, can I ask you one quick thing? Do you have a Costco membership?
Excuse me.
Do you have a Costco membership or Sam's Club?
Do you have a gym membership that has daycare? Is a better question.
True.
Yeah. But go on. Yeah.
I don't have a Costco membership.
So that's only.
And I did Orange Theory before I got pregnant.
Okay. Well, that is crazy. That's a really hardcore workout.
Yeah,
You're looking good. I would get a Costco membership. They're only $50. And what I would do, because you can buy in bulk.
Where are you going?
I'm just saying, you don't have to get a full time job in the meantime or work.
Do you
in the
want
meantime.
Her to work there?
No, I want her to buy in bulk and sell things out of her car for a little bit of a markup.
Because I've always thought I could go into
just for a few minutes.
Exactly. That way you could just buy. You know what I mean? Get some snack. Get some. What do they call it? Advil, and just sell them. You know, go to high schools.
But your husband is support. If you choose to do this to without a plan, basically, your husband is supportive of that.
Yeah, he's supportive.
So there's your answer.
What I'll tell you is the women
that
you'll have to readjust.
The women at your work are telling you you're lucky. I'm telling you you're very lucky on the other end that you can do this and that your husband, you're lucky enough to be able to do it.
And of course it's scary. You're taking a leap of faith here.
But sometimes we have to shake it up.
Yeah, and you're really just taking a break. It's not like you're quitting for the rest of your life, unless that's what it ends up being. But you're taking a break. You've worked, what you've described is you've worked your entire life.
Yeah.
And now you've got something else going on. You're exhausted. You're being pulled in 14 different directions. And you want to try and figure out what your next move is. Your next move may, by the way,
it may look like this somewhere else.
Or you may go right back to this company in a year, another job opens up that wasn't open before and they want you back because you work within the company. That happens too.
Whatever you do, please write a memoir immediately.
Oh, I can't wait not to buy it.
Pam?
But yeah, Pam the memoir.
Pam's got nothing for a memoir.
Okay.
Just called Pam.
Pam.
I think the fact that your husband is supportive is the key thing to all of this.
Absolutely.
Because your decision impacts other people's lives. And if you've got a generous guy like that on your side.
And who cares if other people say it's a great job if you're sitting somewhere 10 hours a day miserable.
Absolutely.
But also, way to live.
It's a great job that you got and earned.
100%.
That experience counts for something. So
and that means you can get it again.
You can get it again if that's what you want.
Good luck, Pam. Love to your family, your sweet husband, your beautiful children, and your adorable dog.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Kiss, kiss.
This was awesome. Thank you.
Bye, Pam.
Okay.
Well, good luck to Pam.
Yeah.
Good luck to Pam. I'd love a follow-up on Pam later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pam, let us know what happens. Yeah. Okay. Let's take a quick break. And we're back. Okay. Dear Rhonna and Brian and Casey Wilson.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you.
About 6 months ago, I was asked to be the man of honor in a friend's wedding taking place this summer. Although she and I have only had the chance to see each other once or twice a year, she lives in London, where we met during college, and I now live in Boston.
Oh,
right down the road from us.
Yeah.
We could go knock on your door and give this advice in person. I was honored that our shared history meant so much to her that she would ask me to play this part in her celebration. The wedding is going to be quite a production, which is very much in line with her personality, if you get my drift.
Slam.
Excuse me. In addition to a small civil ceremony in London, which I will attend, the wedding will be held in Austria. Pardon me.
I hope Rhonna's going to be your plus one.
Oh, yes.
This is all right up her alley.
Last summer, I also traveled to Ibiza for her bachelorette weekend.
Wow.
So I'm putting a lot of myself, both personally and financially, into celebrating her nuptials.
That's too much.
Sounds like a good friend to have, though. She invites you to a lot of good parties.
But you pay to go to them.
Exactly.
True. The issue is that my friend has made it clear that she is not giving, quote, plus ones to anyone who is not married to this other.
That is so fucked up. Not even to the man of honor. Monster.
That's a monster.
When she first mentioned this, I had only been with my boyfriend for a few months, so it didn't seem like a battle I should take on. I'm not taking this on. That's Casey's.
Oh, that's right.
It's June Diane,
Yeah.
Podswag.com.
Now, though, he and I have officially been together for almost a year, and she has met him twice. Once when we visited London, and again when he joined
me in Ibiza. They've met, and he only sees her twice a year? This is insane.
After the days of the bachelorette festivities had finished and most of the other invitees had left. So, okay, they've spent intimate time together. I came out of the closet after college, so my boyfriend is the most significant romantic relationship I've ever had. Aww. And although I know the celebration is about her.
Also, I'm sorry, he might not ever want to get married.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there's plenty of people that don't want to get married.
Right.
Yeah. About her, not me, I expect that she will be tied up much of the time in Austria, and I just don't think this trip or wedding itself will be all that enjoyable by myself.
She's outrageous.
This girl's outrageous.
She really is.
Am I right to think it's unreasonable for her to expect that I fly solo, literally and figuratively?
Oy.
And if so, how would you handle this with her? If anyone can help me navigate this or set me straight and tell me to let it go, it's you two. And you're always wise guests.
True.
You got very lucky today. Looking forward to your thoughts and advice. And then
we can say the name. That's the fake name that he wrote.
Oh, okay. Jason.
Wow.
This person.
Hot topic.
Is selfish as hell. She's a complete
narcissist.
Nerd and narcissist. And I have to tell you, it's completely unreasonable. I have to be honest with you. I'm not a wedding person. I don't love going to them. I'm happy to support my friends, whatever. It's not my bag. I'll tell you what I would never do. Go to a goddamn wedding by myself.
Nor would I go to three.
Down the street, I wouldn't go to a wedding by myself.
In your own home.
You've never been to a wedding by yourself?
I haven't. I would always, I guess I've, I'll be honest. I mostly turn down wedding invitations.
I go to weddings by myself all the time.
I'm
going to
say something shocking here.
Of course.
I'm going to say something shocking. Yeah.
But you will know people there, right?
Yeah, he knows people there. But does not he? Too many, because she lives in London. What were you going to say?
Tell us the shocking
At my list. Wedding, I invited many people who approached me, many women, like close to the wedding. And they're like, listen, I did start seeing someone. I said, of course, bring them. Two women approached me and said the following. Could I just bring a girlfriend?
No.
And I thought, it's not a barbecue. But I said yes.
Yeah,
one brought a former page at SNL, a job I was fired from, and I smiled and took it. Another one brought Sia, the pop star.
Oh, really?
Well, that's not...
So I'm here to say, you fucking let people come. And Sia wore a humongous bow, an umbrella at the ceremony, and a neon dress, and I was couldn't have been happier to have her there. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So let your... You're man of honor. This is a man of honor.
And you're in a serious relationship.
It is. And she has met and spent time with the Pat.
And it's a romantic play. I mean, you're going
honestly,
to Europe.
I wouldn't care if he was like, you know, I've been dating this guy for about a month.
Right. But we're not giving her advice. We're giving
but
him advice.
But let me say, I think at a wedding,
it.
You need to, last thing,
yeah.
you owe it to your guests to try to let them have a fun time too. It's a celebration for kind of
totally
everyone.
Agree.
And they've come a long way.
Yeah.
Several times.
I think he needs to, gosh, should he call or email her?
I think it's a phone call if he's not going
to
see her
in
person. And
I think this is my way to handle everything. You take out a post-it note and you write one word on it. It's Grace. You slap it right next to the phone so you're looking at it the whole time and you just give her everything. You say, I couldn't be more excited to be going to this wedding.
Yeah.
I absolutely cannot wait to celebrate you.
Yeah.
It would make it a lot more fun for me if I could have, you know, this person, he's so special in my life and I can't tell you what it would mean to me to have him here. Rather than like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You say no to that.
No, I exactly. You can't say no to that.
Is Grace always the word that you put on a post-it note?
Pretty much.
Yeah. I think you both have.
I have a tendency to go ham.
I like get blinders on fully and go a little. I get out of my body.
I go into
a
white hot rage quick.
Yeah, same.
So, do you ever done a post-it note, Brian?
No, but what I have done is I've written out. I've only actually done this where there were a couple of people.
Yeah.
In business that I was breaking up with.
Yeah.
And nothing worse.
Horrible. And I literally. Yeah. Wrote something out and like memorized it and just like took a breath.
More time I've seen you take on auditions.
Truly. And then anything I've happened to do over the phone like that, same thing. I write out the email and I read it because I'm so afraid that like my emotions will just get the best of me. But that's actually really nice because it's obvious. It must be so much more heartfelt just going off a word than being like, hey, good, how are you? Look, and just reading all
They're
of
like,
those
They're like, I
reactions.
Didn't answer.
Yeah. Well, because there's no flow to it. Because also... What we can't do here, as much as I agree with everything you've said about her not being as generous as she could be, about her expecting people to show up to things, and this happens on scales large and small. This could be, I expect you to show up at the restaurant for my brunch down the street from my house, or this could be, I expect you to fly to Ibiza and pay for yourself.
Sure.
I don't really know the reality of what's going on.
And fly to London. And fly to Austria.
All of the above. I agree completely. I'm just saying that people live in different spheres, and I don't know financially how bothered he's by it or not bothered by it. Or
he said it's costing me a lot financially. Yeah.
But I think she's also just in her own orbit right now. And it may be that she's really not, it doesn't make her a great person, but that she's not really thinking about these things too much and that it needs to be brought to her attention. And it may be the moment you bring it to her attention, she may say, I didn't even think of that. I didn't even think about whether you were going to be lonely or not lonely. I just was thinking about who I wanted around
me. Benefit of the doubt.
And so we have to, that's why writing out the email is a little
tricky. I think the same person who
tricky.
Would be generous with the response is not the same person who would never have extended an invitation, unfortunately.
But we have,
we don't know. And if she says
friend.
That, we are perfect. I love that. If she says
I'm
no,
I'm just saying
I
leave
think
room
okay.
for it.
Absolutely.
For to happen.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Yes. And it'll go, thank you so much. I'm so appreciative.
But if she says no, I do think you should say.
You pull out of one of the events.
I don't think that's a bad idea. But I also think you should say, I'm just going to ask you to reconsider. You don't have to answer on this phone call.
That's really good.
You can go away and think about it. But I want you to know, I've really thought about it. I really want to be there for you.
And
I'm
the last thing I
want to
be is pushy.
It. And I think all the events have been going to be gorgeous, and I'm working on my speech and blah, blah, blah. But to be perfectly honest with you, I'm thinking about the time that I'm going to spend when I'm not with you.
And your answer is going to affect the speech.
And it, mm-hmm. and yep. it would mean so much to me to have someone there supporting me and there with me and enjoying this beautiful thing with me, blah, 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 whatever. But I would not just drop it on that call. I would say, I'm going to ask you to think about it and right. get back to me.
I have two questions.
If you don't get the answer you want.
Two questions. Because I don't know.
But I mean, pulling out of this altogether isn't a bad idea.
Not altogether. Just saying, well, then I can't go to Austria.
If you don't get the answers,
he can't go to all of them. It's just, it's too much time for me. We need that money to spend a trip together another time. And I was so willing and happy to combine them. But I think if it's not going to work, we need that money for a separate vacation.
I would absolutely do that. And I guess my question is the reason, because I legit don't know, is the reason that she would say no is because that person isn't special to her, or because
she's
it's cost
cheap.
Prohibitive. Okay, so that's what it is.
But you don't throw a wedding in Austria and in Ibiza and
London. This is what rich people are often cheap, and that's how they stay rich.
That's true. But
is it crazy? That's not the only issue. There may be that she has decided, and Casey, I'm sure you can understand this because of what you were saying before.
See ya.
Is that she's decided she's drawing a line. And the line
like she has to draw
is,
it somewhere.
And I don't know if she's very conservative or, you know, maybe she's not, but her family is or whatever. But that the
she's probably like, everyone's going to come out of the woodwork with a story.
Maybe, but couldn't he?
She's drawing a line about, if you're not married, we're not allowing blah, blah, blah. She needs to make an exception.
I want to know. Yeah, absolutely. And also, I want to know, it is crazy, I'm realizing, if he was like, I will pay for whatever you need with him. Is that crazy?
Wait, you can't.
No, I'm asking, is that crazy?
No, but that's not a thing to offer anyway. You mean like, oh, I'll pay for his place setting
that's
at the
insane.
Wedding? No.
That is insane. Okay. My final question.
There's also 400 other
really
people coming
best
she doesn't
friends,
even want
she
there.
Will say yes. If he says no, if she says no, unfortunately, we're in a different place. Yeah. And what she doesn't realize is it will affect him. And if all else fails, take this podcast and just
play
send
for.
Her the link.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Final
She'll
question.
She'll find out just who she is after that.
Rana, have you ever raged?
Lost my temper?
Yeah.
Of course.
Do you scream? Do you use those nails?
Have I ever clawed somebody's eyes out?
I could just see you just taking, just kind of cat scratching.
I tend to get very quiet when I'm angry.
That's scary.
But
it's worse.
But in traffic, I lose my temper, and I do occasionally.
What do you say?
Swear.
What's the...
You know what, Brian?
Like...
You're not going to coax me into behaving badly.
All right.
But... I've been known to throw an F and to throw, look, if I'm obeying the rules of the road, I want everybody else to. And if somebody cuts me off, they're going to hear about it.
And by F, you mean you call people F-A-G-G-O-T.
That's what I meant. Yes, exactly.
Okay, we have one. I think we have time for one quick one.
Okay.
Hello, Rana and Brian, capital Y, thank you. Casey.
Brian's copywriting. TM. BYANTM.
Huge fan of the show and have never felt better about parting with $5 than signing up for your Patreon.
Nice ad.
Patreon.com/AskRana.
Organic. Very organic.
Yeah. I'm from London, but currently live in Sevilla in Spain, having moved to the country 4 years ago.
Oh, fabulous.
I love my life here, but I'm about to turn 29 and have been on the lookout for a special someone to settle down with.
Okay.
I'm very fussy when it comes to guys and have only had two long-term relationships, which only lasted for about a year. But I met a guy last weekend through a friend, and we had an amazing night and morning together.
Oh. Uh-oh.
He's super sweet and affectionate and left me a note in my coat pocket with his number on it.
That was in a movie.
And we've been
cute.
Texting.
Yeah. Cute.
He's perfect in every sense and as well endowed to boot.
It's only been a week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only problem
perfect
is,
in every sense.
I want that to be my on my tombstone, well endowed
well
to
endowed
boot.
To boot. The only problem is ..
Uh-oh.
I am not attracted to his face. He's not
dear.
He's not ugly by any stretch of the imagination, but when I first met him, I had no attraction whatsoever.
Mm.
My question is, can you grow to find
someone...
But
you managed to spend the evening and the morning with him.
You
managed to slog it out somehow. Yeah, okay.
And text back and forth and love his dick.
Yeah.
My question is, can you grow to find someone attractive?
Is his dick attractive?
That's a great question. Do I give him a chance? I don't want to lead him on... waste his time as he's so sweet. He doesn't deserve that. Is if the answer is no, how should I deal with this situation?
And please tell me quickly.
Yeah. Given that it's, he is friends with my friend group. P.S. Rana, have you ever been to Sevilla? All my love, Lawrence. You know what? We're not going to get to that part. Here's the part we're going to get
to. I have been to Sevilla.
So have I. Yeah,
beautiful avenues. Beautiful. The orange trees.
Lawrence. This is Lawrence.
Go ahead. Well, you want to go first, man?
No, Casey, hit it.
This is a toughie. I will say I have dated many men, mm-hmm. many, that are not traditionally, I think, very cute, but traditionally good looking, and endured a million comments from people. They'd be like, oh, and I saw your boyfriend. I was like, whoa. And it's very rude. And I couldn't believe how people would react constantly.
That is awful.
To where it just built up my self-esteem. You know, I was like, I'm gorgeous.
Were they attracted to you? I mean, in other words, attractive to you, I guess.
Did you find
them
attractive?
Maybe other people thought they were funny looking.
It definitely grew on me.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you were attracted to these men?
I did not marry that man.
And
but that's not the only reason you married your
husband.
He is very handsome.
Once the attraction came into full bloom for you, maybe once you learned to be attracted to
them,
did that part of it ever, maybe the relationship dissolved for a million reasons, did that part ever rear its ugly head again and you were no pun intended?
One time.
Where you were reminded that you were never attracted to him. Yeah.
One time I was brushing my teeth, this was near the end, and I had my, Sonicare.
Yeah.
And I found myself putting it, normally I did the 1 minute fast clean setting. I put it on 3 because I knew what was coming next. I had to head on in there and
get it done.
Yeah. And I thought, this might be where the rubbers hit the road here.
Yeah.
We're friends. But
I'm using my toothbrush.
I actually did become attracted to these guys. There was honestly 3 I can think of. And here's why. At a very young age.
Lauren Michaels. Was one.
Lauren Michaels was one.
David E. Kelly.
Uh-huh.
And who was the third one? Francis Ford Coppola.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
At a very young age, also these men were also very successful. I like that. Number two, at a young age, I saw a movie that had such an effect on me that I have sought out men to fit this description for years.
Mask. Sure.
James Bond.
Little Shop of Horrors.
You
wanted Seymour.
I want Rick
Moranis. Rick Moranis.
I'm a Rick Moranis.
He's coming back for the sequel.
I know, and I tweeted, I'm elated.
Of Honey, Adorable. I Shrunk the Kids, right?
So for me, that's my template.
Fair. You know, that's sexy, though.
Does David know you see him as a handsome Rick Moranis?
He doesn't. Yeah, I don't see him as a Rick Moranis, but all I'll say is I think, yes, you can, but then sometimes it might crop up again.
Okay.
So that's not an answer. Sorry to talk so
long. No, I think it's a gradient. Brian?
I have also dated people that at first blush I was not attracted to, who I didn't.
You're like, I like your dick. I hate your face.
Basically. And. I just, they had it was almost like I really just wanted to be with them. And so.
Because you like their personalities?
Yes.
Yeah.
But, and they were funny and cool and all this, but it just, it never, and it's so shallow. It came back.
So this is the.
Came back to life.
So this man is having the opposite problem.
How do you mean?
He doesn't want to be with somebody who is funny and great and terrific, and he wants to push as hard as he can to bury that thing.
Right.
He only cares about having an incredibly handsome partner.
Truly,
he
because
cares about how the other how the rest of the world sees the kind of guy that he dates. Because
are you leading him on? I don't know. You've been texting with him.
It's only been only been a week. This guy
seems so conflicted. He's reaching out to a podcast personalities
immediately.
But I think because he doesn't want anyone in his circle to.
I think he cares more about appearances than he does. Because here's the thing. It's only been a week.
Is that his real name, Lawrence? Because that's an attractive name.
It's a sexy name.
So that's making me
think. And he's English or he just lived in London?
No, he spells it the way I like too.
L-A-U.
Yep. L-A-U. Ooh, he's handsome.
My guess is he's English.
Lawrence.
I think Lawrence is worried about what other people think about how they look as a couple. That's what I think.
Late 20s. That makes sense, honestly.
Because I don't think Lawrence is saying he's fun. He's funny. I had sex with him at least 2 times in the first night I met him. And
so it seems like things fell away pretty quick.
Hasn't even seen him again yet. I think
they had an amazing night and morning.
Lawrence has already done the whole relationship in his mind, and he's getting ahead to the part where he has to introduce him to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are thinking, well, Lawrence is dating somebody not as cute as he is.
This is like a classic teen
movie. I think he's superficial, is what I think.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think it's only been a week, so I'm not saying that you can't...
Are there a lot of options in Sevilla?
Yes.
I have to say...
Nothing but handsome Spanish
beautiful
men.
Beautiful people. Beautiful yeah. people. And you're just a train ride away from...
I mean, my husband is Spanish, so now I'm thinking, keep looking. He's from a little town called Caspe, Spain, which is our last name.
Is that right?
Yes.
But that's Spanish great. Going all the way back?
All the way back.
They survived all that time?
Well, and we actually can have dual citizenship now because they pushed out the Jews
you do
from
have
the
to
town.
You have to pass that test, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, you could.
I couldn't pass my drive, my American
when did,
driving test.
When did they come over here?
Unclear.
Yeah.
We need to drill down
that's
more on
that
family
interesting.
History.
I didn't know he was Sephardic.
Yeah.
Good to know. Makes me see him in a whole different light.
All right. Yeah. Well, good luck, Lawrence.
What's the answer?
I think the answer is... It just sounds like you. This
oh,
it's just
can
like
I say one
this,
more
it's only been
please.
A week. No, this, to go me, out with this guy again.
It's like an Angela Jordan Catalano thing, and you're being Jordan Catalano.
Wow.
You don't want to acknowledge. You don't want to hold her hand.
Meanwhile, who's still on the big screen?
Yeah,
or the small screen, I guess. But
true,
it's Jordan the golden Catalano. Age of television.
It is. Yeah, it's at its peak.
What were you
so
gonna
I
say?
Know a lot of women, Rana. Maybe you do too. Maybe you do. Where it's like, yeah, he was cute, but then he grew on me, and they are like, I needed someone kind of, but then they really do blossom, and I think they're like, I was surprised. I didn't think anything of him. You hear that a lot. But I will say, a lot of those relationships, when I take a closer look, it's like, oh, those seem like roommates.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know.
That's how all of those have turned out for me.
A little, right, yeah. right.
I also think Lawrence isn't really looking for a relationship.
Right.
I don't think
Lawrence isn't like, I just need someone to make me laugh.
He's not looking for that stability.
Right.
And I think it's more actually that he realizes this guy is a catch and he's looking for a way out. So
even
he's
though
not,
he says he wants someone to settle down with, I don't know how true that is.
Is that what he says?
He does. He says, I'm looking on the lookout for a special someone to settle down with. But I'm very fussy when it comes to guys.
It's only been a week. To me,
that's true.
To me, Lawrence goes through this whole story in his head. He's writing the story before the story has been written.
Right.
So maybe it's not this guy, Lawrence, and that's fine. But on the next one, I would beware if you are in a pattern where you throw people away very quickly.
Wow.
Because that is about you. That is not about them. And if you do want a long-term relationship, no one is ever going to tick all the boxes of looks perfect, hilarious, da da da. What it takes to stay in a long-term relationship has nothing to do with what it takes to just be dating a person.
That's true.
So
very true.
I would just be aware of your own patterns. And look, you're in your late 20s. If you want to go run around and only date handsome men, that's fine. You could do that for 20 more years if you want
to. That's right.
But don't try and talk yourself out of things. Just be real with yourself about what you actually want.
Yeah, and if you're honest with him about this the whole way through, then just have fun. I mean, not honest about his looks or about how he attracted him, but just I'm not looking for anything serious.
But also, that's fine. Move on. Who cares?
All right. Okay. We now is the portion of the show when we do a giveaway, Casey.
Yes.
Okay, great.
We give a gift to whoever we think deserves it most, and it just has to be something you feel in your heart. There are no other criteria. So today, Rhonda, what's the giveaway?
Well, this week, we're giving away sort of a funny gift. I've talked about my Hastens bed on the show
you
before.
You have.
My Hastens.
The king of Sweden sleeps on this
bed.
Okay. Yeah.
Casey knows.
By the way, allegedly, well, she hasn't confirmed it, a six-figure bed.
No. Five figures.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, could it be low five?
It's
could
not.
Could be low five.
Yeah.
It's not.
So in any event, everyone knows I'm crazy about my Hastens bed.
Yeah.
And I have a fabulous salesman. Sometimes I'll go into the showroom. There's one in Boston, but sometimes I'll go into the showroom when I'm in Los Angeles because they've got the cutest guy working there named Christopher Erickson.
Oh, I'd love to meet him.
Is his name. He's so sweet. And turns out he's half Jewish. He's a Swedish Jew, if you can handle it.
Wow.
Anyway, every now and again, Chrissy will send me a little something. A little over on it. I told you, got the pajamas or the robe or whatever it is. Anyway, he sent me a Hastens eye mask.
Fabulous.
For Lawrence to wear when he fucks his guy.
Which is so, that's not a bad idea. Which is such a cute.
That
it's
is
got
so
the
cute.
Blue and white check.
It is adorable.
And is it comfortable? I don't know because I don't wear something like this because it would mess my hair up while I sleep.
Right.
But.
That
it'll
is
be
really
perfect for
cute.
One of our listeners. So we're going to send them this Hastens eye mask today.
Very so are cute. We giving this to
okay.
the dilemma with the friend whose boyfriend, the friend who's secretly dating the shitty boyfriend and doesn't want to tell her best friend.
Okay.
Are we giving it to the man of honor? Mm. Are we giving it to sweet Pam? Mm. Are we giving it, now I'm forgetting what Pam's problem, oh, the career stuff.
Yeah.
Are we giving
Pam's
it to,
Pam's problem was courage. Yeah. That was her problem.
Or are we giving it to Lawrence of Mylabia over in Spain?
I want Man of Honor to have it because he's got major cross-country flights coming up alone.
He's a lot of jet lag to deal with.
I was going to say the exact same
thing. I want him to take an Ambien, have a glass of wine because he knows he's going on that flight alone.
And he might have to grin and bear it.
I think this is the quickest decision we've ever made. Yeah. This is his. Great. This is his.
And, Pam was second.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think this is key for
he needs
our
this
traveler.
It is a satin sleeping mask and he's going to need it on all these flights.
You're going to love it.
Yeah.
And
he's going to like the way he looks.
He needs to remember to put Neosporin. We've talked about this, but especially with the corona.
Right in your nostrils.
He has to put Neosporin at the base of his nostrils to create a barrier.
Stop.
So that he does not get sick on the plane.
Stop.
Because he needs to show up because it's showtime when he arrives.
It's showtime.
And I'd like to know where in Austria the wedding is, incidentally.
I want follow-ups on all of these. Yeah.
I do too. We will keep you posted. In the meantime, please, are you Casey Rose Wilson everywhere or Casey Wilson?
Casey Wilson. You call me anything.
Okay, fabulous. Yeah. Casey Wilson on Instagram, Twitter. Please listen to Bitch
That. For that, I'm Casey Rose
Wilson. Oh, I was like, okay.
I'm like, it doesn't matter. It fucking matters, Brian.
God.
Casey Rose Wilson
everywhere. Listen to Bitch Sesh. Join the Jane Club. Is your short available for the masses yet or not quite?
Yeah.
You know, shorts kind of live and die in one night. So not yet.
Not yet.
They're the fireflies.
Watch Black Monday. Watch Mrs.
The
Fletcher.
The amuse bouche of the entertainment industry.
What else can we push for you?
Oh my gosh, my happy endings. You can see it on Hulu.
There it is. Okay. Now is the time of the show
when
we read a question. And for the answer, you get to go to patreon.com/askRana to hear our sage advice.
If you want the answer, join us on Patreon.
It's an exclusive club, but you will get a Carriage House VIP all access pass, which is, by the way, the level I'm at. So if you want to be like me...
Until we create a new tier.
That's true. But now...
I suppose if you wanted to give me $5 a month, I might.
But I'm already giving $5 to the Patreon.
Gain access. No, you know what's so funny? You're the wedding guest. All I do is make you fly back and forth.
It's true.
And you've never asked me if you could bring a plus one.
Yeah, but you're my plus one.
Oh, okay. I'm going to read the question.
Yes.
Hi, Rana and Brian. I adore your show and I'm so happy you two are doing this. I've been listening from the start and realized I actually should write in. A few weeks ago, I came home early from work to find my ex, in a compromising situation with another person.
Oh.
Is it bizarre that we were still living together, admittedly, but I was still heartbroken? Oh, okay. So this relationship, I'm not going to say what I think.
No.
Because they got to hear it on Patreon. But obviously, is it over? Isn't it over? Was the question there. The dangling Chad of this relationship. Remember that from the election?
I do,
recap.
But I don't like it describing how men have sex.
That really wasn't what I was talking about at all. And I'm not sure why that is what you thought I meant.
No, I know. I'm not either.
Yeah. Okay. Obviously, I've made him move out. I'm still shook about how much of a mess I am about this. I am moving on, but I'm taking this far too hard, I think. The way one would be if they were actually in a relationship with the person being discussed. We are still in contact with one another, and I have always prided myself by conducting myself with decorum. But not on your grammar, apparently. But wonder often if I should sever all ties. How do you find equanimity within within when going through a situation like this? I think weird to reach out to two strangers about how to process, but here we are. Any advice, gladly appreciated. Best, Kevin.
Go to patreon.com/askRana. And if you don't think I'm asking Rana if she ever walked in on Dr. Bob or Jordan, you're out of your mind.
And if you don't think everyone hasn't been in a situation like this before, 100%. Not necessarily the walking in, but the feeling that Kevin has described, it's a universal feeling.
In the meantime, and Rana's really rubbing off on me here, rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, please. What are you waiting for?
Why don't you just listen for free and do nothing? That's the other thing you could do.
You can listen for free every Tuesday, and every Patreon episode comes out Friday. So we will see you there or next week.
Kiss, kiss.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lori Watson and the co-host of Foreplay.
I'm your co-host, George Fowler, former firefighter, your couple's therapist who loves to talk about sex.
Woo! Let's discuss everything about the best sexual techniques to building your emotional intimacy, which is really necessary for great sex.
We bring sound, concrete tools to reframe your relationship problems and learn how to fall in love again and feel desire.
Listen to Foreplay Radio on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.